Ladies and gentlemen, a Hashkafa Shia by Rabbi Aaron Soloveitchik, Pashas Chayei Sera.
The Parshas in the Torah, in that it deals mainly with the simple things of life, things that are unusual, and things that take place in everyone's life. This Sedra Chayesoro deals mainly with two incidents. First, he discusses the problem that confronted Avram in choosing a burial plot for Sarah, and then he discusses even in greater detail and more elaborately the problem that confronted Avram in regard to the matrimony of Yitzchak. These are problems that confront everyone. Still, the Torah devoted a lengthy discussion to these incidents, and our sages took notice of the uniqueness of this sedra in that it deals with ordinary things. When they said in the Medrash twice, once in connection with the incident of the death of Sarah, and then again it is reiterated in connection with the incident of the matrimony of Yitzchak. Yofo sichoson omar avachet. Yofo sichoson shalovdeis. Lifnei amokei, yeisem miterosom shalbonim. This is in connection with the first incident discussed in the Seder. The incident of the death of Saul. And then Ravachet says, Yofo sichoson shalavdeis. Lifnei amokei miterosom shalbonim. שערי פרשי של הרזר כפול בתירו והרבה גופי תירו לניתנו אלו במיז. Apparently, God found it more important to discuss elaborately the whole conversation that went on between Avram and Ephron. In the same way, the whole conversation that went on between Eliezer and Rivka. And again, the Torah found it important to repeat, because the Eliezer himself repeats the whole story before the family of Rivka, even though many fundamental laws are left over just for a Yalfuse, and not even mentioned explicitly. Now this points out the great emphasis that the Torah puts upon the vicissitudes of life. As Chazal call it, Voyo Ekev Tishmon, Dvorim Shodom Dosh Beikev, the things that a person is inclined to step upon with his heel. These are the most important things in life. And Kedusha manifests itself primarily not in the unusual things of life, but in the vicissitudes of life, the things that confront a person, every person, throughout his life. Now, the first incident discussed in this address is the problem that confronted Avram in choosing a burial plot. This shows the uniqueness of the Torah. And the attention paid by the Torah, by Jews, to a mess is really unique. Now the Umi Sa'ilam don't pay great attention to a mess. As a matter of fact, even among religious Christians, it is not unusual to cremate the corpse of a human being. And a great mind like Einstein instructed his son that upon his death his corpse be cremated. Now the Torah pays great tribute to the corpse of a human being. This tribute is based upon the concept of Bitzalem Elokim Boaz, the image of God, in connection with the mess. It is not a matter of compassion, because the mess doesn't feel. Now, you know the story. It's a historical fact of the great cynic, the ancient cynic, who instructed his disciples that upon his death they should leave his corpse upon the field. So his disciples asked him, if we leave your corpse upon the field, so the dogs will devour your corpse. So he said, then put a cane in my hands. So they left. What will you be able to do with a cane after your death? So he said, if I'm unable to do anything after my death, so what difference does it make whether the dogs will devour my body or not? That was the point of view of the cynics. And of course, this point of view was based upon the notion that a human being is just like any other living organism, except that he has a higher degree of intelligence. He's a Homo sapiens, but he's just a member of the animal kingdom. Now, we don't pay great attention to the manner in which an animal is buried. As long as the remains of the animal are disposed of, how they are disposed of doesn't make any difference. But a human being is not a mere animal, he's not just a Homo sapiens. A human being, every individual human being, is unique. And the Sefer Hasidim says, Kol echod v'echod mi Yisrael, mechuyov lehamin, she'u eilom bifnei atzmei, v'she'eishu b'riyo acheres b'eilom kameyo. She'u mo'ei, ho yisoy yichoy lo li'ez b'riyo acheres kameyo lo hoyo nivo. Now, in regard to other animals, so each individual animal is just a member of a species. Every species has its purpose, of course. God created the various species in the world. But the individual members of a species have no purpose in life. They have no task to fulfill. If I see a certain insect creeping around on the floor, it is just a biological accident that this particular individual insect is living now. Not so with regard to men. It is not a mere biological accident that a certain person lives now and wasn't born before. It's not a historical accident. Everyone comes, every human being, Jew or non-Jew, comes into the world because he has a certain task to fulfill. And this we say in the Tefillah and Yom Kippur, Elikai Asher Lenitzarti Eini Kedai. Oh God, the reason as to why I wasn't born until the year in which I was born is because I wasn't true to be born. Because if I had been born, let's say, the time of the Rambam, I wouldn't have been able to fulfill any task. The reason I was born in this generation is because in this generation, so even I can fulfill a certain task. And the reason as to why the Rambam was born in the 12th century is because the Rambam could not accomplish today what he accomplished then. And that applies to everybody. Every Jew, every non-Jew, every human being has a certain task to fulfill in life. And this is the gist of the concept of Hashgacha Pratis. When we say, Ani ma'amin b'mul ha'shleimo, so it doesn't mean only that God knows. Of course God knows. That comes within the first ikar. That there is a God. What does God mean? God does not mean an impersonal God. God means a mechanical God. God means one who is omniscient, one who knows everything. By knowing himself, he knows everything. But Judea means he loves men. He's interested in men. Ki yidativ l'man asher yitzarez bonavez beis yachov. So yidativ, the Mephoshim says, Loshin chibo. God takes an interest in men. An interest in the activities of men. HaKadosh Baruch Hu yidea matim ne'olam. Why does he take an interest in the activities of men? Because every person is unique. Every person has the potentiality to contribute something. Something is, he is able to bring a contribution to the world so in such a way that it could not be fulfilled by anyone else. And the least intelligent person has something in him that could not be replaced by the greatest intellectual. Now, of course, this is based upon the concept of Bitzalem Elokim Boreisi, that every man is to have his own Tzalem, and through his own Tzalem, to realize the Tzalem Elokim. Hence, the concept of respect that has to be accorded to the corpse of a human being. He has to be buried with respect and tribute. Every human being, even Yehoshua. The Ramban says that the reason as to why Yehoshua had to take down the corpses of the Canaanite kings from the trees, because if he hadn't done that, he would have violated the law of Lesolinus Nivlosi Alayt. Because even those Rishoyim, those enemies of Israel, were still created in the image of God. This is the reason as to why the Torah tells in such detail the manner in which Abraham chose the burial plot for Sodom. And then there is something else that is involved in this incident. Chazal say, in reference to Yaakov, in regard to the pasuk of Oret HaSheikh HaValeo Lechot Nenu Zaraha, Ha'oretz, Ani etin lizracho uvilvat chehei ato kovu shom. That was a tnai in the promise of God to give Eretz Yisrael to the descendants of the Oveis. And that was that the Oveis are to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. Now, some of the modern Zionists have only contempt for the so-called Yishuv HaYoshen in Eretz Yisrael, the old Yishuv. And the reason for their contempt is that those Jews who emigrated from Europe more than 100 years ago were motivated primarily by a desire to die in Eretz Yisrael rather than to live in Eretz Yisrael. The fact is that it is not true. The Talmidim of the Gro and of the Baal Shem were primarily motivated by a desire to live in Eretz Yisrael. But, assuming that they were motivated by a desire to die in Eretz Yisrael, their contribution toward the outbuilding of Eretz Yisrael cannot be underestimated. Because if it hadn't been for those Jews who emigrated from Europe into Eretz Yisrael under the most hazardous circumstances, risking malaria and other diseases, there wouldn't be any state of Israel. Now, Chaim Weizmann, in his book, mentions the movement of Beis Yaakov Lechuven Eichov as the first movement in the Chibasiyah move, in the trend of Chibasiyah. He doesn't mention a word about the Talmid HaGro, about the Talmid Baal Shem. The fact is that they were the first pioneers, and then they were the forerunners of the Chibasiyah movement, which preceded the Beis Yaakov L'chol V'Nelcho. And if it hadn't been for them, there wouldn't have been a Chevitzia movement, there wouldn't have been any Chalutzi movement, there wouldn't have been any Balfour Declaration, there wouldn't have been any State of Israel. The fact that the Ovis, the power Ovis, were buried in Eretz Yisrael, made Eretz Yisrael into an irresistible magnet which drew Jews from all over the world to Eretz Yisrael. And if not for this fact, maybe many Jews would have divested themselves of all attachment to Eretz Yisrael. This is the reason as to why Avram was so particular about the burial plot that he chose for himself. But the main incident in this week's Seder is not the incident of the burial plot for Saul, but rather the matrimony of Yitzchak. When one goes through the whole narrative mentioned in the Torah in connection with the Shidduch, so one readily sees that the Emunah in Hashgacha Pratis was the chief motive in the lives of the Ovis, and consequently in the lives of their descendants, because Masi Ovis similarly born. Now I want to discuss this incident in detail. In connection with a certain Maimah Chazal, and the Pasuk of Avrom Zokim Bo Bayomim Vadishem Birach Es Avrom Baki, the Ramban indulges at length in this Maimah Chazal. When Abraham became old, the Torah tells us, so he was blessed with everything. Chazal say, as to that pasuk, Basu Yisrael Avram Avinu Ubakeu Shmo. This remark by our sages cannot be interpreted literally, as the Ramban point out. He says like this, Rambam. V'cholilu lehem sheyutziu birkotei shel Avrom sheyigdeilu kolis l'inyan ze sheyimar hakosuf ki berach yisei Hashem bibat achat sheshmokach. The bliss of Avrom consists in the fact that he had a daughter whose name was Baka. There are so many human beings, contemporaries of Avrom, who had not one daughter, but many daughters. Well, maybe then the names of those daughters was not Bakal, so it was something else. But what difference does it make? What kind of a name they had? Avrachirim chichu beferush hakosuf hazeh, inyen omuk meyoit, vidorshu bozeh soid misedeh satero. Veyomru, ki bakoyu, tiyo moizali yen godel. Now this, Maimah Chazal, according to the Ramban, represents the approach of the Chazal towards matrimony. Vehu sheyesh b'hakodesh boruch hu mido tikro kol. One of the attributes of God is kol. How do we know that? Vehu shenemar, there is a pasuk, yisrein eretz b'kol hu. The excess of the earth, consists in kol, in everything. Ubo nemar ani Hashem eise kol. Yisrein Oretz V'teivo ha-godel ha-shefei al-kolboi ha-ilom ba'avo ki b'choyoi. The reason as to why our earth, this earthly existence, is so wonderful is because of kol. It abounds in everything. V'hi ha-mido ha-shminis me-yidgimu midos, and it constitutes this mido of kol. Ani ha-vishem mo-yise kol constitutes the eighth mido of the yidgimu midos. Now what is the eighth mid of the Yidgimu Midos? Avishem, there is a machlekes rishenim. But according to the Rambam, so the some Rishonim say that the first Hashem is not counted among the Yirim Umidus. But the Rambam Shite in Kisiso is that it is counted. So you have Adishem, twice Hashem is mentioned. So you have two Midos. Keil, three. Rachum, four. Hanum, five. Erech HaPayim now. Rav Nunissim Shite is that Erech HaPayim involves two Midos, but the Rambam Shite is only one. So what is it? Six. Rav Chesed Vemes. So the Rav relates to the Chesed, as the Rav Nezer points out, and also the Vemes. It means Rav Chesed v'Rav Emes. Rav Emes. So, Rav Chesed, that's the seventh mile. Rav Emes is the eighth mile. So, Kolo is synonymous with Rav Emes. Rav Emes. Emes. What is Kolo to do with Emes? We'll soon see. Unido Acheres, Tikro Bas. And there's another mile that Netzeret Mimeno, that emanates from Emes, and that's called Bas. Why is there another Midah that emanates? Because the Midah is not just Emes, it's Rav Emes. Rav Emes. So the Rav that emanates from the Midah of Emes. Ubol Maniketako. And with this Midah, the Bas that emanates from Emes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu administers the world. V'hi bizdin shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the bezdin of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'hi shenikreis kalo b'seif ha-shir ha-shirin. And this middle is called kalo in shir ha-shirin. Ba'avu sheikulo min ha-kol. What does kalo mean? Composed of everything. That's ha-kol. Ba-kol. The expression Knesset Yisrael is also derived from that. Knesset, in other words, everything is included there. This Midah was like a bus to Avram. כאין הברוכו הזוי שנסבור בקיו רמדס על שאין מדבט מסור אישתי הוא שלא יהליט אבל היא רמדס עניין גודל שבירח איסי במידו שהיא בסייך מידת הכל ורוח אין תקרו גם היא כראש אין כשמי בקיר בי ונשהו מקורוך בשמיים ואורץ God himself owns heaven and earth so heaven and earth are contained in God who became each other So Avram was blessed with that midah that he abounded in everything. Ulekach omar, Padishem leki ha-shamayim veleki yoretz. This is the reason as to why when he was mashbiah Eliezer to find a suitable spouse for Yitzchok, so he referred to God as leki ha-shamayim veleki yoretz. Because when someone is to choose a spouse for his son, so he is to be motivated by the concept that God is Elokei HaShamayim Elokei Haaretz, that heaven and earth are contained in God. Why does he have to be motivated at that moment by this concept? Because man is to emulate God, and he too is, as far as it is humanly possible, is to try to attain that degree of blessing so that he'll be able to abound in everything. Now this sounds very esoteric, very mysterious. Now what does it mean? First of all he says, you didn't say anything yet, how could you phone?
Because I don't understand what's going on.
All right. So, the Ramban is saying that Bakol is synonymous with the eighth midah of Rav Emes, of Emes. Then the Rav emanates from Emes. So apparently Bakol has to do with the concept of Emes. What does Emes mean? What does Emes mean? Now, the Torah mentions Chesed and Emes as both being attributes of God. The Midrash in Parsha Bereishis mentions that before God created the world, so he consulted the angels, and that those angels, the angel that that represents the middle of MS, said that God should not create the world. Why? Because man is a Deirosh God. Man does not embody in his soul the concept of MS. However, the angel representing the middle of Chesed said God should create the world. Why? Because man is a game of chesed. Man likes to help out his friends that are in need and distress and so on. Apparently, the middle of Chesed and the middle of MS are antithetical to each other. One excludes and negates the other. Because Chesed demanded that the world be created, and MS demanded that the world be not created. What did God do? So look at Chesed MS and Yishlichei Yorotzo. Shenemar MS Mi'eretz Titzmoch. This is how the Rebbeinu Shalom resolved the conflict. The conflict. By taking MS and dropping it upon the earth, so that the MS will sprout forth from the earth. We thus see that there is a certain connection between the earth and MS. The Rambam mentions Ki Yisrein Erev Bekeiru. And what Bekeiru? Eis Mide. What Eis Mide? MS. So the distinction of this earth, or this earthly existence of ours, consists in the fact that the earth is typical of the concept of MS. Why the earth? Now this is a riot in the Rambam, but we have to understand what the Medrash means by MS Me'aretz Tismach. Now a definition of MS on an ideal level is given by the Rambam. It is obvious that when Chazal say that there was a conflict between Chesed and MS, Chesed said the world should be created, MS said no, the world should not be created. So the conflict took place only between the Chesed as it is popularly conceived and the MS as it is popularly conceived. But on an ideal level, there is no conflict. One complements the other. We see in God, so it's Rav Chesed and MS. The two are integrated. What is the definition of MS on an ideal level? The definition is given by the Rambam, the beginning of Hilchas Yesedah Hel. The Rambam says, at the very beginning, Yesedah Yesedah is Ramud HaPachmeis, Leida Sheyesha Motzer Rishen, Vihumam Siko Nimso, Vihola Nimso Yim Vishamayim Vohoretz, Vih Nimso Yelamim Tasimati. So, the fundamental notion that comes before anything else is the God notion, that there is a creator who created everything, and that anything that exists, exists because of God. Vim yalo adas, shehu det amachbeis, shehu eini motu, in the vrach yochel motis. Without the existence of God, nothing else can exist. It's impossible that anything should exist apart from the existence of God. Vim yalo adas, shein do vrach amintzo, but he assuming that nothing else would exist, but who go who nintzo? Kelema, hein tzrichim noi vein hu tzorich rev. Hu shal novi eineya. This is the meaning of the expression used by the novi, adishem melekim emes. Shehu shahakil tzrichim noi vein hu tzorich rev, lefichach ein intas himotzom ki intas himotzom. Only God exists truthfully. But nothing else exists truthfully in an absolute sense. So what we see, that MS means that which exists because it exists. Now, let's say we have a chair here. Now this chair is made of wood. What made this chair exist? Because there are certain people who are engaged in the work of making chairs. So that's the cause. How did they make a chair? They procured wood. How did they get the wood? Well, they probably cut off some trees and they got the wood, they shaped it into a chair and so on. How did they get the tree? Somebody must have planted the tree. How did he come into existence? Well, he was born at the top of the mountain and so on. So, it's true that a chair exists, but does it exist because it exists? It exists because of a certain external cause that made it exist. And that other cause, again, exists because of certain causes. But you cannot ask the question, the same question as to God. Why does God exist? Well, a child will ask such a question. So what is the answer? The answer? God exists because he exists, because his essence implies existence. If his essence wouldn't imply existence, then he wouldn't be God. He's self-caused. So in other words, anything else other than God does not have any intrinsic validity and truthfulness. It exists because of certain reasons. But it doesn't have to exist. The chair doesn't have to exist. It exists. It's a fact. But God exists because God has to exist. His essence implies existence. So that's the meaning of Adishem Malikim Emes, the Rambam says. So Emes means that which has intrinsic validity. When we say Moshe Emes, Vipirosi Emes, what does it mean? So it means that the Torah, the commandments of the Torah are Emes. Why are they Emes? Because they are conducive to peace of mind, that it is conceived from the point of view of pastoral psychiatry, and as it was mentioned by Rabbi Libman in the book Peace of Mind. Then, from that point of view, the Torah is not a mess. From the point of view that the commandments of the Torah, one should entertain religious feelings because it can give him peace of mind, from that point of view, it means Chatzishon the Torah is Sheker. Not a mess. Then the Torah itself has no intrinsic validity. Something else is more important than that. The peace of mind that it can affect. No, but Moshe Emes, it's a Rossi Emes. So what does it mean? It's Emes. It has intrinsic validity. Why is there a love of Reisirtzach? Now everyone today will concede that murder, homicide, should be considered and treated as a crime. Why? Because if it is not considered as a crime, if a murderer is not apprehended by court and he is not brought to justice, then there will be chaos in the world. Ish esreyu chayim loy, no one will be able to live in peace. Loy signov, loy sachmod should be recognized. Why? Because there can't be any happiness of the individual, happiness of the society, unless these norms are recognized. But they are recognized by other men, not because of any intrinsic significance. No! Because if modern men had recognized that there is intrinsic validity in Eli Sirtzach, then it follows logically that he should apply the same standard of justice and righteousness in respect to states as he applies in respect to individuals. Now everyone admits that these norms have to be recognized in respect to individuals. An individual who commits murder, he kills one human being in the course of a burglary. So he has to be brought to justice. He has to be punished. But doesn't it follow logically that if murder on a small scale, when committed by just one individual and against one individual, is to be condemned, when murder is committed on a large scale, committed by whole states, by armies, when an atomic bomb is dropped and 100,000 individuals, human beings, women and children, who have no share in the guilt, that they perish, certainly should be condemned. But no one condemns that, because that was committed by state, not by individual. So does that mean that Reisirtzach is recognized as MS? No! Reisirtzach is recognized by Mother of Men as Sheker. It has no intrinsic significance, but it should be condemned because an individual murderer is not punished and brought to justice, then there can't be any happiness. But when it's done by the state, then it is done for a reason, in order to establish justice in the world. Then it is done for the purpose, then human beings are killed and butchered in order to preserve peace. So then it's a different matter. That shows that Reisirtzach is not recognized as a norm that has intrinsic significance, as the Torah recognizes it. Just as we say God exists because he exists, so we have to say one should not commit murder because he shouldn't commit murder. No. Why? It is true that if it is not condemned, if a criminal is not punished, so it will lead to chaos. Of course it is true. But that doesn't mean that the only reason as to why it should be condemned is because abstaining from murder is conducive to happiness. It is a crime because it is a crime. 2 times 2 is 4. Why is 2 times 2 4? That's MS. Why? Because if we say 2 times 2 is 4, then the world will be wonderful. If we say 2 times 2 is 5, the world will not be wonderful. Doesn't follow. Why is there a law of gravitation that everybody is attracted toward the center of the earth? Why? Because by establishing such a law, so we'll be able to supply happiness to men? On the contrary, this law is the cause of all the misery. When somebody walks in the street and then a stone falls down from a dilapidated building and they have to be taken in an ambulance, so it's not conducive to happiness. It's because of the law of gravitation. Everybody above the earth is attracted to the center of the earth because it is attracted, that's all. God created the world that way. That was the will of God, and that's all. Why was the will of God that way? That was the will of God. 2 times 2 is 4 because it is 4, that's all. That's MS! So Moshe MS, which Otay MS, implies that every commandment of the Torah is valid and sound, not because it will lead to certain results, but because it is MS, that's all.
So really, even the Torah, I mean, condones killing under certain conditions.
In case of Aredes.
In war also, I mean, even...
If it is a war to defend, I'm not talking about the war that was carried on against the Nazis, you see.
No,
I mean, there it was in self-defense of all of mankind. But I'm talking about other wars. Yes. So the Torah does not condone it. A Milchemes al Shus can only be conducted if it's al Piyur Mitumim. If it's not al Piyur Mitumim, it cannot be conducted. When God said to Abraham he should sacrifice the Yitzchak on the altar, all right, so... You have to sacrifice again from the point of view of Emmet. Because that was the will of God. That was the will of God, that's all. So it was Emmet. Now, so Emmet means something that has intrinsic significance. Intrinsic significance. So anything that exists in the world is not really Emmet. It's Emmet in a certain way, but it's not in an absolute sense Emmet. Why? Because it does not have any necessary existence. It exists not because it exists, but for a certain reason. For a certain reason. You can't say it had to exist. But God exists because God has to exist. The essence of God implies existence. That's Emes. Now, so one of the Midas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Midas represent those attributes whereby Hashem administers the world. One of the Midas is Emes. So that does not have reference to the essence of God himself. That wouldn't be called a Midah. The fact that God's existence is Emes. Hashem Elokim Emes. But because then it wouldn't be included in the Midos. The Midos include only those attributes whereby God administers the world. That means an attribute of God in his relationship with men. That's what Midah means. If God is designated by the attribute of Rav Emes, so it means that one of the attributes of God is that he enables men to become imbibed with this Midah of Emes. God. Men is able to absorb this Midah of Emes. Emes in the sense of necessary existence, and it's in the sense of intrinsic validity. Men can imbibe the Emes in a human way. How can men imbibe that middle of Emes, necessary existence? Well, the answer is very simple. As I said, that the birth of a human being, of any human being, is not a biological or historical accident. every human being comes into the world because of a certain task that he has to fulfill. So that means, why was a certain man born a certain year? He had to be born. In the infinite wisdom of God, that had to take place. In other words, there is a necessary existence attaching to man. It's not a historical accident. But the reason as to why I wasn't born until this generation in which I exist is because in some other generation I wouldn't have been able to fulfill my peculiar task. I wouldn't be able to assert my own talent in a perfect way, the way I'm able to do now, is because any could die. In another generation, I was not qualified to do that. But the Achshachshimitzati, now that I was born in this generation, I was born in order to fulfill a certain task, in order to assert my own talent, a talent that could not be realized by anyone in the world. No one. I have a low IQ, somebody else has a very high IQ, but there is a certain task that could be fulfilled by me and not by anyone else. So all would be well if a person dedicated himself to the tasks that he has to fulfill. But the fact is that most individuals don't worry about the tasks that they have to fulfill in life. So So it is if I didn't, I was as if I hadn't been born. My talent was not asserted in the proper way. That means I did not saturate myself with the middle of MS that God, in his kindness, is willing to bestow upon men. My existence does not partake of that infinite existence of MS, of necessary existence, of an existence that has intrinsic validity. I deport myself as if I've been a member of a species. As if I have come to the world due to a biological accident. Do you own it up? But man is able to imbibe within him a spark of that infinite essence by identifying himself with divinity, with God. That's the concept of Kedusha, dedicating himself to God. So, Emes means that which has intrinsic significance, intrinsic validity, that which has necessary existence. And Yisrael Eretz become you. But from this middle of Emes emanates another middle, and that's called Bas, Rav Emes. Rav Chesed, Rav Emes. What does Rav mean? Rav means an abundance. There's an abundance of Emes. The expression abundance of Emes implies that it is composed of multifarious things. When you say it abounds in many things, Avishem Be'erach Avrom Ba'keyo, the blessing of Avram abounded in many things. In other words, it consisted of multifarious things. There is not one factor in this earthly existence. There is more than one factor. And the numerous and multifarious forces on earth can establish a certain equilibrium in life so that the balance of all these forces will represent Emes. This is what the Pasuk says. The Yisroin Eretz Ani Adishem Meise Koil Vushenema Yisroin Eretz Bakil. Why is this earthly existence of ours so wonderful? And according to Yadus, it is the sublimest existence that one can conceive. Yofo Shoach Shal Toiro Masin Tevim Beilom Azeh. One hour of Torah, Mice, and Tavim in this world, this earthly world, in this mundane existence, is more sublime than all of Olam Haba. Why? Why is this earthly existence so sublime? Yisrael Noretz Bakeli. Because man is composed of body and spirit. Because man is driven by certain instincts. Instincts which can make him think so that he'll be engulfed by the abyss. But at the same time, man also has certain spiritual aspirations that can lift him above, so that he'll soar above all these inclinations. And men can so sublimate the instinct that the same instincts that are the source of all evil can become the source of Gdusha. I mentioned last year that one would expect the Sefer HaGdusha of the Rambam to deal with the mitzvah of Mesiras Nefesh, of Avat Hashem, Yirat Hashem, spiritual matters. So the Rambam deals with Avat Hashem, Yirat Hashem, Melechet Yisrael HaTorah. And in Sefer HaGdusha he deals with Macholot Asuras Nesurebe. Why? Because these are matters that are common to all animals. So Dafke, in these matters that are common to all animals, Gdusha manifests itself in the most sublime way. Why? Because Yisrei Neret Bakoil. The sublimity of the mundane existence of men consists in fact that men's existence is composed of numerous and multifarious forces that can be integrated into one entity. How can they be integrated into one entity, into one sublime entity? By dedicating himself to God. That's Yisrael Eretz, and by dedicating himself to God, then he will imbibe a spark of the emes, of the infinite emes of God, of necessary existence. His existence will partake of that necessary existence. It'll have meaning. It'll have intrinsic significance. V'teivu ha-godel ha-shefeya al-kolbo eilom ga'avu ki-bichori. Now, how can you integrate those numerous and multifarious forces? By imposing restraints upon the proportion of each. By establishing an equilibrium between the various forces. That's bas. Bas means zora, and bas also means a measure. Bas in Hebrew means a measure. So, Basri Solav Romovinu Bakil Shmo. God blessed Abraham with everything. What does it mean with everything? It doesn't matter what Abraham possessed. Now, I didn't quote the whole Medrash, but actually there is a Machlekes, the Ramban quotes the whole Medrash. There is an apparent Machlekes between Remeir and Rabbi Yehuda and the Acherim. I say apparent because the Ramban explains it in such a way that there is no Machlekes, one only complements the other. Remeir says, V'adishem birach et Avrom bakeil. Bakeil, as Rashi cited, bakeil ila b'gematria ben. So bakeil means that he had a son, not a daughter. So according to Rameya, the blessing, the brach of Avrom consists in the fact that he didn't have a daughter. He only had a son. That's Rameya. Rabbi Yehuda says, so in the Medrash, Rameya says it in so many words. Rashi apparently did not want to quote that. Rameya, Rameya, Adeshem Be'at Avram Bekeil Reb Meir Eme Ashalo Hoi Sorry Bas. Rashi was afraid, you see. Because it might be Rashi anticipated that if he cites the whole Medrash, Shaloi Hoi Sorry Bas, then it might be stricken out by the conservative rabbis. Because that would reflect upon the approach that orthodoxy has toward the woman. So, but Reb Meir actually says, Shalom Hoysoloi Bas. Reb Yehuda Meir Bas Hoysoloi. Bas Hoysoloi, on the contrary. But the brocha consisted in the fact that he had a daughter. Achirim Emrim, Bas Hoysoloi, Batel Shmo. Now, of course, apparently, on the surface it appears there is a Simon Domas. One says that the brocha consisted in the fact that he didn't have a daughter. One says the brocha consisted in the fact that he had a daughter. And one said, the fact that he had a daughter, that's not enough. But he had a daughter whose name was Bakel. That's the important thing. So what does it mean? Now the Ramban does not explain what Reb Meir means and what Reb Yehuda means. Now, but with this Ramban we can very well understand what What for me, I mean. Now, the Torah says that Avram was blessed. So it, Avram was a very fortunate person. But I don't think that anyone today who would be overtaken by so much yisurim, so much suffering as Avram was, would consider himself as a fortunate person. Now, up to, until he was, Yitzchak was only born when Avram was 100 years old. So that means that Avram lived a long life without having Yitzchak. And Yishmael, and even when Yishmael was born, so Avram wasn't so young. Then, after all the tests that Avram had gone through, with all the suffering that he that overtook him, so Avram was blessed with a son. And even when Avram was blessed with a son, so he was overtaken by a lot of grief. When Sarah told him to oust Hagar and Ishmael, Avram felt very aggrieved. He had to do it because God told him to do it. But it wasn't easy for him to oust his son and the wife. So the lot of Avram wasn't such an easy one. Still, the Torah tells us, Avram zokim bo bayomim vadishem birchas Avram bakeil. Bakeil was blessed with everything, as if he had been the most fortunate person. After all the suffering they'd gone through, he was blessed with everything. How is it with everything? Other human beings who did not dedicate themselves to God were blessed with many more things, were blessed with many children without any trouble and without any commitment on their part. So why does the Torah say Radishem Birchas Avram Bakeil? The answer is true, there are other individuals who were blessed with many more things, material things, but the broches of the other individuals did not partake of MS. It did not have the spark of necessary existence. The existence of those other individuals who had many children and were happy through their lives was like the happiness of an animal. An animal is very happy. But its existence is not a necessary existence. It has no purpose in life. It's only a biological accident. The same was true of the mundane existence of those other individuals who were blessed with many more children and with more wealth and without the sacrifices that Avram had to offer. It was just biological accident. That's all. But Avram, Adishem Berachas Avram Bakeil, the bracha of Avram partook of the emes Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of necessary existence. Every day in Avram's life had meaning and significance. Avram Zokin Bo Bayomim. What does it mean, Avram Zokin Bo Bayomim? What does it mean, Avram Zokin Bo Bayomim? Avram became old. He entered with his days. He was carrying his days in his hand, and he came in. The whole bundle of the days with him. What does it mean? Because actually, the Torah says, in reference to men, that the days that a person lives disappear with the gradual existence of the man. On the day that you will partake of the Eitz HaDaat and you allow yourself to be swayed by your instincts, by that which appeals to your senses, so you start dying. Moistomus doesn't mean tomus. Moistomus. Now the question arises, but Adam and Chava did not die on the day that they partook of the Eitz HaDaat. They lived so many, 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 many years. After that, so the Ebenezer says that the meaning of Mois Tomus is not that you will die. The process of dying will commence on the day that you will partake of the Sadas. Because until men partook of the Sadas, so every day that he lived was a day that remains in his life. But as soon as he partook of this Hadas, so there was no integration between one day and another. When a day expired, so that day was detached from his existence. It was a day died, a day that faded away, missed us. Now, last year I mentioned the quotation from Reb Yedaya, Mifchar Pnim, that Ha'ovar Ayin, Ve'arotid Adayin, Vahil Ve'kehelef Ayin, Inkein Ho'odom Ayin. The Ovar, that's already passed, that doesn't exist. That already passed into oblivion. Doesn't exist anymore, the Ovar. And the Ofid does not exist as yet. So the only thing that remains for a person is what? Is the Ofid, I mean the Heve. But the Heve is terrified. Here you have it, and then it's already passed. So then, man has nothing to live for. In Kein Odomai. Or Mesa or Odom in Abeimoi. There is nothing to exist for. That was the tragedy of man, as a result of the fall of man, of partaking of the Hadas, as a result of man's inclination to be swayed by the instinct. So then there is no... a split was established between the Ovar and the Osid and the Heve, but men can soar above this quantitative distinction of Osid, Heve, and Ovar, and he can integrate all the three into one entity. But if he doesn't integrate all the three into one entity, then it's Neistamus. Man doesn't live. He constantly dies. As a year expired, so that means 1 year of his existence has already faded away. Another year expires, another year has faded away, and so on and so forth. But Avram integrated his days. So Avram's okay, and Avram became old. Vavayonim, he had all his days with him. The Ovar, and the Heve, and the Otit. He had, was one bundle. Vavayonim. So therefore, in spite of all the suffering that overtook him, in spite of all the Nisyenes, it was Hashem Birach as Avram Bakoy. He was able to absorb more than a spark of the infinite, necessary existence of the Almighty. So it was Bakoyim. But this capacity of absorbing the infinite existence of God by dedicating oneself to God can only apply to men. To men in this mundane existence of his. Why? Because Yisrei Neretz Bakayru. Because of the numerous and multifarious and conflicting forces that rage within men. Man is able to integrate all these forces into such an entity so that he will fulfill the function and the task that have been reserved for him. So this is done by placing restraints and limits upon each factor in life. The Torah does not deny to the Jew the joys of life. Man is to partake of the joys of life, but he is to place limits upon each factor in the mundane existence of the earth. So that's the middle of Bas, that is Netzeles, that emanates from the Emes of God. How can men, a human being consisting of flesh and blood, absorb the necessary existence of God? This is so alien to men's existence. Well, the answer is through this Bas, through this measure, through the restraint that man is to impose upon the various factors in life. Now the Torah tells us the exact measures. He did eat every dollar. Because had Avrom, if Avrom had a dollar, then there would be a problem. Then there would be a problem, because you see, Avrom was confronted with a very serious problem in connection with Yitzchak. The only woman that was suitable for Yitzchak was Rivka, and Rivka was also the same family. Which family? The family of Nochair. Now that family of Nochair was able to produce wonderful women, but not wonderful men. Because the men in that family were not so wonderful. Now you see, all the women, all the Imoyes, descended from Nochair. From Hor. Now there were three brothers. Terach had three sons. He had Avrom, Nochair, and Hor. Now Avrom and Nochair both married daughters of Hor. So Hor supplied the daughters. And then from these women descended all the Imoyes. And when Avrom had to find a suitable spouse for Yitzchak, he couldn't find that spouse in any place except in that home. In that home. Now, why only in that home? And it's a remarkable thing that the home that in Beis Horon, so the women were wonderful, the men not. Apparently, Horon lacked a certain quality that is indispensable for nobility of character in men, but it is good enough for nobility in character in women. Now, what was that quality? Now, Chazal tell us about Horon that when Avrom risked his life in the Kifshan Eish, so in Horon was observing him, and he said, if Avrom is burned, then I'll bow to the ice. But if he comes out alive, then I'll do the same thing. And Avrom came out alive, so he decided to do the same thing. And he was thrown into the Kishon Eish. And you know what happened to him? He perished. Now what do Chazal mean? Chazal mean that actually Horon was also had a tendency toward Avidas Hashem. But he was hesitant, he did not have the strength, the gvura, the midah of gvura he lacked, to fight. Avrom had the audacity to fight the whole world. Horon lacked it. And men, in order to progress ethically and spiritually, must have the midah of gvura, to be able to fight the whole world, to counteract the environment. It is not necessary, this is not an essential quality in a woman. So the daughters of Beis Horon were suitable spouses for the Beis Avrom, for the men in Beis Avrom. Because Beis Horon had all those qualities that Avrom had, except for the quality of Gvura. Now that was, we'll see that in connection with Rivka and her in her relationship with Yaakov and Esav. What was the purpose? What was the purpose of Rivka's device? It wasn't just that Yitzchak wanted to attain that sublime goal of providing Yitzchak with certain matanim. She could have provided him with all the matanim in the world without resorting to this trickery. Well, the purpose that Rivka had in mind was to endow Yaakov with the Midas HaGvura, because Yaakov did not have the Midas HaGvura as an innate quality in him. It had to be established within, it had to be implanted within his soul. Now, so the Beis Horon had all the essential qualities for nobility of, that are conducive for nobility of character, except one, and that is Gvura. The quality of putting up a fight, of counteracting the whole environment. As Chazal say, Avrom Ivri, Shekolo Eilo Meiver Echod, V'Avrom Meiver Hashem. This is what Chazal mean by Noshim Dayton Kalis. Chazal did not, Chas V'Sholem, intend to express contempt for the woman, But they said, Noshim Taitan Kala is that a woman naturally lacks that quality of Midas HaGvulot. And if she didn't lack it, she wouldn't be a woman. That's an essential quality of womanhood. That's what Noshim Taitan Kala means. So for Yitzchok, Avraham was able to find a suitable spouse by sending Eliezer to the Beis Hor. But suppose Avraham would have, if Avraham had a daughter, then whom could he find as a spouse for his daughter? Whom? So Rav Meir says, Vadishem Berad Avraham Bakel, the reason is why Avraham was able to bring up the whole household in the way he did is because he didn't have a daughter. But if he had a daughter, the daughter could not have been brought up in the same spirit, because he would not have been able to find a suitable spouse for the daughter. Then Rav Yehuda says, no, even if he had a daughter, Avraham would still be blessed Bakel. So the Achirim come and say, why? Because regardless what overtook Avraham, whether he had sons or he had daughters, or even if he didn't have either, he still would be blessed Bakel. Why? Because Batu Yisrael Avraham Avinu Bakel Shmo. Avraham had the capacity of integrating the numerous forces in the human existence in such a way that it would partake of the necessary existence of the Almighty. That's the Bakal. Yes?
What in a daughter marry Nochah's son?
What?
Nochah, the third brother's son.
Well, how about Nochah's son? I mean, the...
Well, you said they had this board, like Avram.
I said about Avram. I didn't say about anything about Nochah. I said the Torah. You see, it isn't mentioned that Nochah volunteered to throw himself into the Kivshin Eish. Only Horon. Horon had the tendency toward Avat Hashem. But he led the group. He couldn't counteract the whole environment that Avraham did.
Why couldn't she marry?
What?
If she was from a different...
All right.
I didn't have a daughter, then it would be the joke, you know what, so...
That's right. That's right. All right. Now, this is what he says. Avo hiri mevez, inyin godeil, shebirach esei bimido sheroish, שיהי בסייך מיד הסקל, ולוחן תיקחו גם היא כלושי כשמי בקרבי, ונהו מקור בשמיים ואורץ. Heavens and earth are contained in God, so men can also attain that middle of containing heaven and earth. That means the integration of all the forces that in here in the world. And now, when Avraham had to find a suitable spouse for Yitzchok, so then he referred to God as Lekei HaShemayim VeLekei HaOrtz. Why? So the Rambam says, because in order to attain that madrega of integrating the numerous forces in the human existence, when he embarks upon the endeavor to choose a spouse, he must be motivated by that concept of God. Now this explains why Avraham was so concerned with the choice of his spouse. I don't think that the approach of Avraham would coincide with the approach adopted by men today, even with the approach adopted by yeshiva boys. Now, at first blush, the approach of Avraham, of relying upon Eliezer's Nihush shocks us, because after all it seems that Eliezer left everything to be determined by mere chance. Because how did he try to foretell whether God had appointed the proper spouse for Yitzchak by means of a portent, of an omen? If a girl will come over and he'll say to her, now give me a drink, and the girl will respond, Here, there is a drink for you, and I'll give water to the camels as well. So that will indicate that this is the girl that the spouse appointed for Avram, for you. Now, what does it mean? Now, the Gemara says, So the Ram says that he doesn't mean that in Nichush that this comes within the prohibition of the Rav of Lesen Achshav. Because if it came within the prohibition of the Rav of Lesen Achshav, then Avram, then he would not have relied upon it. Avram would not have relied upon it. But what they mean is that Kol Nichush She'ine Ki Nichush Eliezer Eved Avram should not be relied upon. There is a distinction needs to be drawn between a Nichush that is forbidden and which is, of course, unreliable, and the Nichush like the Nichush of Eliezer, which is reliable. Now, what is the criterion whereby we distinguish between a Nichush that is reliable and does not involve any violation of the Rabbis in Achshu and in Nichush that is unreliable and does come within the prohibition of the Achshu? So the criterion is this. If there is no logical connection between the matter involved and the Nichush, in other words, if it's based completely upon superstition, then of course it's unreliable and it comes within the prohibition of Lesen Achshu. For example, if somebody is walking towards his business and on the way he meets a black cat and he decides to return, there is no logical connection between success or failure in business and the black cat. It's based only upon superstition. A person should not rely on that. And if he does rely, so he's either up. But if it's based upon logic, then it doesn't come within the prohibition. The Nichush of Eliezer, says the Ranechun, was based upon logic. Now, the Ram does not discuss the logic that was involved in Eliezer's Nichush at length. But that can be detected very readily. Now, Avram said to Eliezer, "Vashbiachov adishem alikei ha-shamayim v'alikei oretz, asher isik achisho libni mibnei zaknani, asher oneichi yeishev bikir. Ki al arci ve omladiti teileich v'lokachto isho libni liyitzchok." That was Avram's approach. In other words, Yitzchok, Avram decided that Yitzchok is not going to get married through dating, but Yitzchok is going to get married through Ishak. Now, why didn't Avram resort to the ordinary method that is pursued matrimony? Why? So, Avram mentioned the reason. Avram wanted Yitzchok to choose that kind of a spouse so that she will represent the element of restraint in his life. She'll be coward. So he told her that he should choose a woman that will be suitable for his son and also be suitable for Yitzchok. Now what does that mean? With Nil Yitzchok. Doesn't everyone know that Yitzchok was his son? And the Torah does not contain even one superfluous letter. Why did Avram have to emphasize Zilakachto Yishol Livni Yitzchok? He could have said Lakachto Yishol Yitzchok. Well, he couldn't have said Lakachto Yishol Livni because maybe Eliezer would make the mistake that he had Yishmael around, even though Yishmael had already been married for a long time. But he could have said Lakachto Yishol Yitzchok. Why did he have to say Lakachto Yishol Livni Yitzchok? Apparently, Avram was motivated by two considerations. First of all, he had to find a girl that was suitable for Yitzchok as a son of the base Avram, Livni. Someone that would be fit to become daughter of Avram. Someone that would fit into the pattern of Avram's home. The pattern that consisted primarily of chesed. כי דעתי זו מה שיצא ועזבונו לזה יישא לשאול אחר ושום הוא דרך השם ראתי סדוק או מישהו. That was the pattern of war. This is implied in the expression ולקחתו ישו לבני. But he also said לו יצחק. Because the husband and wife, each of them might be wonderful. And each one of them might have a wonderful character. And still, the marriage between the two might prove to be a failure. Why? Because the woman, who by herself is wonderful, might not be the suitable spouse to fit this particular man. So in addition to choosing an Isha that will be suitable to Yitzchak as a son of the house of Avram, a woman who will fit into the pattern of Beis Avram, a woman who will be motivated by the concept of chesed, he also had to find a woman who will be adapted to the peculiarities of Yitzchak, so that she would be able to suit Yitzchak's individual talent. Because Yitzchak, apart from being a son of Avram, had his own talent. So therefore he said, "Lekachto Yisho Livni Yitzchak." Now, Avram had to resort to this approach. Why did he have to resort to this approach? One of the many girls in Eretz Canaan. And it seems that in Eretz Canaan there were more homes of people that believe in God than in the Eretz Miladite Shel Avram. Because Avram and Sarah were Megayer, Anoshim and Noshim. So in Eretz Canaan there were thousands, Le'alofim or Le'revovis, the Rambam says, were converted in Eretz Canaan. They were captivated by the personality of Avram and they became converted. So they believed in God. Whereas in Eretz Horon, they were idol worshippers, more than Eretz Canaan. So why did Avram send Eliezer to Eretz Horon? If he didn't want to choose a daughter of an idol worshipper, so he could have found her more readily in Eretz Canaan than in Eretz Horon. So this question is raised by the Akedah. And the Akedah says that true, Avram could have found many homes in Eretz Canaan where the heads of the houses had been Evdei Hashem. But idolatry in itself is only an intellectual error. So Avram was not afraid of this intellectual error to which the daughters of Eretz Horon might be subjected to. Avram knew very well that if a girl will come into his house, she will cure herself very quickly of this intellectual error. But in Eretz Canaan, so the idolatry led to a full moral degeneration, so that it became part and parcel of their nature. That is something that is very difficult to cure. So he didn't want Yitzchak to choose a spouse from Eretz Canaan. True, Yitzchak could have found a girl who was not an idol worshipper and whose father was not an idol worshipper. Eshke, Rone, or Mamre, they're not idol worshippers. But Avram wanted to Yitzchak's spouse to be of the same heredity as his own house. Now, the Gemara says, Aboin Yoim Koidim Yitzirat Avad, Baskol Yitzis, Veimrim, Bask Leinu Leplein, 4 days before the Yitzirat Avad. Now that means, I mentioned it last year, that does not mean that a person is not free to choose a spouse. That would be contrary to the concept of Prior Hoshis. Now, matrimony is a mitzvah, like any other mitzvah, and consequently it has to come within the free choice of a person. So how could Providence determine the choice of a spouse? The answer is that the Baskol does not compel any human being to marry a certain girl. But the Baskol merely proclaims who is the suitable spouse for a certain man. Every man has a suitable spouse. But the Baskol does not compel him to make the choice. The Providence will only manipulate the vicissitudes of life in such a way that he will be afforded the opportunity to meet this suitable spouse. But then it is up to men to make the choice. And even if he meets the suitable spouse, so he can decide whether he is to marry her or not. This is what Basris, this is what Chazal mean. Aboim Shonokin Mitzirat Avlad, Baskol Yitzirim and Baskol Yitzirim and Baskol Yitzirim. Now, why do Chazal say, Aboim Yein Kedim Yitzirat Avlad? Why do Chazal say that? Why Aboim? Why only 40 days? Why 40? Why not 30? Why not 20? Why 40 days? Now, 40 is not a usual number. Well, the answer is because the concept of Ashgoche Protis, which applies not only to matrimony, it applies to all the vicissitudes of life. Now everything is guided by Hashem. But then you can ask, if everything is guided by Hashem, then there is no Prior Hofshitz. How can we reconcile the concept of Prior Hofshitz with the concept of Hashgoche Protis? How can we? The answer is Hashgoche Protis does not say that everything is determined. Hashgoche Protis only means that God guides men. Providence guides men throughout the vicissitudes of life. It guides them. But it's up to men to choose the proper course. Providence manipulates the vicissitudes of life in such a way that men should be able to choose the proper course. But men is free to choose a different course. The providence of God operates within the framework of the natural processes. Now let's say, if Baskol is Yetzis, Aboim Yem Kedem Yetzirat Avad, so it means providence will manipulate the circumstances and the facts of life so that a certain man will be afforded the opportunity to meet the suitable spouse. But he might decide not to choose this particular spouse. And then if he marries someone else, the one that is not the suitable spouse, so the marriage will be a failure, will not be a success. But he is free. Providence will only manipulate the circumstances. How will God manipulate the circumstances? Very simple. You see that, in the lives of some of the former students of the yeshiva, a certain girl, let's say, was born in Wichita, Kansas. A boy was born in Dallas, Texas. And he was born in a home that is removed from Yadus. They don't know about Shabbat, they don't know about Kashrus, they don't know about anything. The parents don't even go to a reform temple in Kippur. But then, this boy conjures up a very queer idea. He meets a boy in the street and he hears that boy has a friend who goes to yeshiva. A yeshiva known by queer name, Yeshiva University. So then he comes home with this queer idea to his parents. He also wants to go to Yeshiva University. Yeshiva University is the most wonderful university there is. And they'll bring liars. College ball, other things. And then the father and mother, they think that this boy just is off his mind, but what can they do with him? They send him to New York. And there, a similar story takes place in connection with the girl in Wichita, Kansas. And she decides she'll study in Stern College. So then they meet. But that doesn't mean that if he meets her that he'll marry her, then it's up to him to decide whether he should marry her or not. So that, so she has something to say. So that, so the Basco doesn't say, the Basco doesn't say that he must marry a certain girl, but the Basco merely proclaims who is the suitable spouse. And then he marries that spouse or not. He can marry someone else. He can marry, if he's a king, he can marry a Grusche. But is that proclaimed by God that he should marry a Grusche? Of course not. But it only means that he married something that is not suitable for him. And even if he doesn't marry Grusche, it doesn't mean that he married a suitable spouse. So it's up to him to decide. So many free within the pattern work of natural processes to choose the suitable spouse. And Avraham felt that only Horn he'll be able to choose the suitable spouse. Now, why, what does Chazal mean? Aboim Yeim. Why Aboim? The answer is very simple. That the choice of the suitable spouse is to be determined by, on the basis of certain natural criteria. Why Aboim? The Gemara says in Nideh that when do we say that if a woman has a miscarriage, so in Tamil Nideh she has to count 14 days, maybe it was a Nikevo, only if the Vrad is already 40 days old. But Kalidim Aboim Yeim, so it's Kemayu Baomi. He's not considered as a Vlad. Al-Bedin, a Vlad is considered as a Nefesh. There is no Chiyuv Mise if somebody kills a Vlad before 48 years Reishe, but he's considered as a Nefesh and there is an Issa Ritzich. But when is he considered as a Nefesh, as a Vlad? After 40 days. But prior to 40 days as of conception, so he's not considered as a Vlad. So Yitzirat Avlad commences when? At 40 days after conception. Prior to that, it's Kemaya Baalme. He's not a Vlad, Al-Pedin. Biologically, he is, but Al-Pedin is not considered as a Vlad. So, Avoyim Yim Kedem Yitzirat Avlad means what? At conception. That means that the suitability of a certain spouse is determined by Providence on the basis of the heredity of the spouse. Providence determines who is the suitable spouse for whom on the basis of the heredity. And when is the heredity determined? At conception the heredity determined. This is why Chazal say, Avoyim Yeim Kedem Yitzirat Avlad. Baskol Yitzei Zeme. So Avraham wanted to be sure that Yitzchok will get a suitable spouse. So by advising Yitzchok to resort to the approach of dating, he wouldn't get a suitable spouse. He wouldn't get a suitable spouse on the basis of either consideration, on the basis of the consideration of Lekach Be'ishol of me, or on the basis of the consideration of Lekach Be'ishol of Yitzchok. Why? Because Avraham wanted Yitzchok to lead a life such that it will represent the MS, necessary existence, an existence that is not analogous to a mere biological or historical accident in life, but an existence that reflects the necessary existence of Almighty God. Existence with a purpose. Existence in which all the numerous and multifarious forces inhering in mundane existence will be integrated into one entity. So, he knew very well of the truth of Sheker HaChein V'Hevel HaYefi. Now, what does it mean, Sheker HaChein V'Hevel HaYefi? Again, it must be interpreted in line with the definition of emes given by the Rambam in Hilchas Yesedah Teir. What does it mean, Sheker? Sheker doesn't mean, is not limited only to something that does not exist. There is such a thing as Chein. Shlomo doesn't mean to say that there is no such thing as Chein. The answer is there is difference, there is a distinction between emes and nochi. The Torah says, v'nei emes nochi nador. If two edim come and testify that a person committed a certain crime, so Bezdin has to inquire and to investigate the matter. And if they determine, they establish with the utmost certainty that emes nochi nador, then they can render a decision. So So Torah says, emes nochin ador. Now, what does it mean, emes nochin ador? What's the distinction between emes and nochal? What's the distinction? Isn't it the same thing? Emes means true. Nochin means correct. There is a distinction between emes and nochin ador. Now, suppose two Eidim come and testify that Reuven killed Shimon. Killed Shimon. And this in this day, and this hour, and this in this place. And then it turns out that he didn't kill Shimon. So that's Loi Nochon. It's Loi Nochon. It's incorrect. It wasn't correct. It wasn't so. But suppose two Eidim come and say Reuven killed Shimon. And this in this day, and this in this hour. Then it turns out that everything they said was true, was correct. He killed on this and this day, and this and this hour, as we said. They did not say one word which was not correct. But there is one incident that they failed to mention. And that is true, Reuven killed Shimon, but Shimon was ready, was chasing after Reuven, trying to kill him. He was the aggressor. And Reuven, as a last resort, killed Shimon in order to save his life. They did not say that there was no element of self-defense. They just didn't mention it. They failed to mention it. Everything they said was nochal, was correct. Was correct. But was it emes? It wasn't emes. Why wasn't emes? This is according to the Rambam's definition. Emes is that which has intrinsic significance. Something might be correct, but it has no bearing. It has no intrinsic significance. It has no validity. It's not important. It's correct. It's true that Reuven killed Shimon. But under what circumstances he killed Shimon? Under circumstances of self-defense? So does the killing have any significance of guilt? Does it have any bearing on guilt? No. It's nahol. The fact that is testified is nahol. But it's not emes. Because emes is to be taken in the sense of something that has intrinsic significance. When does the fact of killing a human being have intrinsic significance and bearing upon the guilt of the person of the killer? Only if he did not kill, if he killed under circumstances that did not involve any self-defense. So, under such circumstances, so the killing, which took place exactly the way the witnesses testified, did not have any validity, did not have any intrinsic significance. Therefore, it was not emes. Shlomo says, Sheker Achein, they have a Rayetzi. He doesn't mean Sheker, there's no such thing as Chein. There is such a thing as Chein. There is such a thing as Chein. But it's Sheker. Sheker means just the opposite of emes. It might be no Chein, but might be Sheker at the same time. It has no significance. And have a Rayetzi. The value of Yefi might rest only, as there is an expression in Yiddish, from Estatonis to Purim, you see. So he'll be enamored and captivated just for one day. And then it'll fade away. Sheker Achein, there is such a thing, but the sheker, it has no intrinsic significance. What has intrinsic significance? In the choice of his spouse, Yisho Yiras Hadishem, he tisalo. What do you mean tisalo? So because that is something lasting. So he had to decide, Lokachto Yisho Levnil Yitzchok. No, Avram was not a fanatic, Chas v'Shalom, Avram. Avram knew very well what all the psychiatrists, what modern psychiatrists know. That the husband might be a wonderful person and the woman might be a wonderful person, each one by himself and by herself, but the match between them is like bringing together fire and water. One will extinguish the other. That's why he said, with me, first of all, you must make sure that the general character, of the person is of such nature that it will fit into the pattern of Beit Avraham. You must choose a girl who is qualified to be daughter of Avraham with me. But that's not enough. She might be wonderful. She might be motivated by Chesed, but she might not be suitable for Yitzchak. You also have to determine there is Yitzchak. Now, Avram knew very well the Aboyim Yein Kirim Yitzchak Avrad Baskel Yetzis. Baskel Yetzis, so why did he have to send Eliezer? He didn't even have to send Eliezer. The Baskel proclaimed, the girl will come. By the clouds it will come. The answer is no. He doesn't say, he doesn't mean that that providence determines. That will be in conflict with the concept of freedom, of free will of Jesus. Providence only determines, and providence will afford Avram the opportunity, afford Yitzchak the opportunity to meet this power. But it's up to men to become a link in the manipulations of providence, and to decide that Yitzchak should marry the suitable spouse. So Avram knew very well in Eretz Canaan he won't find her on the basis of both considerations. First of all, in Eretz Canaan, the daughters of Ene Rosh Kol Mamre, so they are not idol worshippers, but for years the Canaanites have become idol worshippers, and that brought about a mild degeneration. It cannot change in a day or two. That is a very long process. So that the choice of a spouse for Yitzchak must be made on the basis of the proper heredity. What is the proper heredity? Beishon. Because Beishon had all the qualities that were conducive to nobility of character in a woman. So that was the semen. So the sign that he established. First of all, he said that if he sees a girl coming over towards the well, towards the evening, and we can very well understand that in those days in the Orient they did not have, you see, artificial lighting. So it's already towards the evening. It is already getting dark. It's already getting dark. And perhaps there was even an element of risk involved. Maybe many girls were afraid to walk at night back home. So if he asks the girl, "Can I have a drink of water?" And then if she says that she'll fetch a drink of water, and that she'll also fetch a drink of water for the gmalim. And then what did you say? That will be a sign that she's a suitable spouse. But first of all, it will indicate that she is a gemelas chesed. She's a gemelas chesed. That she has compassion even for animals, not only for human beings. That's number one. But then, as to the suitability for Yitzchak, that she is adapted for Yitzchak, she'll fit the peculiarities of Yitzchak. That was also a good sign. Why? Because what Yitzchak lacked was the gvura. Yitzchak had gvura. He had the gvura of perseverance, of patience. But Yitzchak, in a certain way, was a passive character. He lacked the energy. He allowed us. He allowed Avram to guide him. He allowed even Eliezer to guide him. But he had the perseverance and the patience. That's also a gvura. But he lacked the gvura of putting up a fight. So the spouse that would be suitable for Yitzchak had to be one that had energy and that could supply and the shortcomings in Yitzchak. And Rivka, by running towards the well so many times and by fetching enough water for all the 10 camels, showed that she had energy, that she was not a passive character in any way. So that showed that she was not only suitable for Yitzchak as a son of Avram, but that she was also suitable to Yitzchak, to fit Yitzchak's peculiar makeup. All right.